We're back at the end of the week here. Last show before the start of the new year, 2011. Sears, it's nice to have you back with us. It's good to see that you weren't beaten up or you haven't been sued, have you? But you did get a head cold.
I did get a head cold.
Was that from an Auburn fan too?
Probably.
The NCAA came out yesterday and released a statement. And nobody really knows what they said. But they released another statement. I mean, they have the biggest foot and mouth disease. And, of course, it addressed the Ohio State and Cam Newton rulings. At the end, talking about the Cam Newton situation, it says, put simply, had Cam Newton's father or a third party actually received money or benefits for his recruitment, Cam would have been declared ineligible regardless of his lack of knowledge. Now, I will bring to mind that this is the NCAA statement, not the SEC. The SEC bylaw was completely violated. There is no way to get around that it said if someone on the athlete's behalf agrees to receive. That's what the SEC bylaw said. The NCAA was not as direct. However, could the NCAA have declared Newton ineligible for that? Sure they could have. It also said toward the end of the this laughable release, money is not a motivating factor as to why a school would get a particular decision versus another.
Really?
I mean, is that basically an admission that a school will get a different decision than another school?
Pretty much. I mean, if you look at it, the big boys, the SEC, the Big Ten, pretty much all your AQ schools, except for USC apparently, are not going to be punished because of the revenue they bring in for the NCAA. You look at the smaller schools. Was it Jerry Tarkanian that said they're so mad at Kentucky that they put Cleveland State on probation?
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Anyway, to discuss this ruling and other, we're going to bring in college football writer and producer Brian Fisher. Brian, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be on.
Well, your quick reaction to yesterday's release by the NCAA.
Well, you know, I think any time the NCAA releases these type of statements, you know, they're obviously looking to kind of calm over some of the criticism that's, I guess, been directed at them. And, you know, I really think they kind of did the opposite, that they probably attracted more criticism with a statement on this. And, you know, I was talking with some other people, you know, in the media and out yesterday about the release, and, that, you know, they all kind of pointed to the same thing. They, you know, really can't remember outside of this year the NCAA really releasing these type of statements and trying to clarify what they've, you know, what their decision was or something like that. They've really, you know, always kept quiet about it or, you know, said something off the record and, you know, just kind of let it slide. But now they're kind of being more public, being, you know, more proactive. And to be honest, it's kind of the opposite effect. They're really inviting more criticism with these type of releases. And, you know, the stuff inside the release itself, you know, is, you know, fairly accurate. They did cite things that were already, you know, had been agreed to and bylaws and decisions that were happened in the past. You know, that's an accurate statement. But the way that they're doing it by making these releases is really kind of doing the opposite of the fact of, you know, what they wanted it to.
Yeah, it seems that a lot of the release, they said that they were responding to media reports. Does that not lower the NCAA to an extent to be responding to media reports?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point they do have to be, you know, somewhat aware of what's going on in the media. I mean, as an organization, you know, you don't want, you know, if you're a company, a major company, you're going to, you know, respond to someone saying, oh, you know, this company is bad doing this thing or that. You know, you want to respond to that and kind of clear up the facts and whatnot. And but again, you know, kind of going back to my point is, you know, this is really kind of new ground for the NCAA in releasing these type of statements and trying to clarify and trying to be more proactive. And, you know, you can debate releasing a statement, but I think it's, you know, the context of the statement and what was actually in it that kind of got people fired up. You know, it's an interesting time with the NCAA with a new president and a lot of new staff changes. And you know, certainly responding to media reports hasn't been the norm for the NCAA, but going forward, I actually think it's probably a good thing, even though in the recent cases they're inviting more criticism. I think more dialogue with the NCAA is good in the long term.
The NCAA release stated that had Cecil Newton in the Cam Newton situation, had Cecil Newton actually received money, then Cam would have been ruled ineligible. And in the previous statements, they repeated the phrase, based on the evidence they know now. And also a Fox Sports report that came out on December 15th said that NCAA President Mark Emmert wouldn't rule out the possibility that emergency legislation would be put in place in January that could affect the outcome of the Newton situation. Where do you see that particular case right now, and where do you think it is going?
Well, I think we're kind of in a holding pattern. And until January comes around, and with the national championship game, and, you know, going forward, I think everybody's, you know, they don't want to make a decision early that, you know, negatively affects Auburn or Cam Newton or anybody really on the field of play when, you know, they haven't discovered all the facts, or it could be later proven that nothing happened and that would be their final decision, and they don't want to take that chance of taking away the opportunity to play in a game like that for any student athlete, and the fans, and obviously their corporate sponsors and whatnot probably play a role in that thinking as well. But, at the end of the day, I think it's going to be in a holding pattern. And then as soon as, the national championship game gets done, and then the NCAA has several meetings in January to go over rule changes and whatnot, I think, you're probably looking at something around February when there might be some more progress in this case. But right now, I think it's just a holding pattern at the current moment.
Do you agree with the NCAA's decision to let the five Ohio State players play in the Sugar Bowl?
I just think it's kind of, it was such a big punishment for next year. Five games is a lot. I mean, that is going off of their, standard scale in terms of deciding how many games to suspend players based on the amount of money that they received as an extra benefit and whatnot. It was a big benefit received, and then, but it really does take the teeth out of that suspension by allowing them to play in a bowl game that, in all honesty, is just an exhibition game. Mm-hmm. And it has no effect on the NCAA. They're only getting $12,000 from the Sugar Bowl. It's to me silly that they would allow this exception, which is on the books. They can do that. But it really kind of takes the teeth out of their suspension later on. And then again, the players in Ohio State are going to go through an appeals process after the Sugar Bowl. They're going to try to get those games reduced to, maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. I just think in the end, it really kind of takes that bite out of the, message that the NCAA is, trying to do send with suspending them for that many games.
Moving to play on the field this year, 2010 season was quite a year. What do you think is the biggest thing we've learned about the just the entire college football landscape this year?
I can't remember a year where college football was so much, so in the news. Mm-hmm. About things that had happened in the sport, and in the long run, I think it's good that college football is really being looked at more thoroughly. It's not just games. The off season is never ending, almost like the NFL or the hot stove league in baseball. And in the end, I think it's just taking off, and you can see it on the ratings that, outside of certain games or certain conferences, ratings are down. But, across the board, you're seeing really high-profile televised games. You're seeing major teams get recognition that they haven't ever gotten. You're seeing large media contracts being doled out. And, I think it's a sport that is growing and getting more interest. And, in the end, we don't know where it's going to go, but I would say it's the change is still going to continue in 2011 and beyond.
Brian Fisher, the college football writer and producer, thanks so much for being with us. I know you have to run.
All right, thanks.
Brian Fisher, college football writer and producer. Okay, we are joined by Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News, and he is, of course, covers the Crimson Tide of Alabama. And I assume you'll be in Orlando this weekend for the game?
Been in Orlando since Sunday night.
Okay. I trust you're having a good stay in Central Florida.
Much as possible. The weather's not near as bad here as it is north of here. So we escaped to maybe the warmest place on the East Coast. We're pretty happy about that.
Well, that is good. Well, we all know what happened the last time Alabama was on the field. to this point in practice and getting back into the routine, how do you think this Alabama team has responded to the Auburn loss?
You know, I think getting the taste of the Auburn game out of the players' mouths is a priority. How they feel about themselves and their ability to have a better season in 2011 is something that this game is going to play some kind of a role in. So, yeah, I think they need this game in order to go into the off season, you know, the conditioning program and all that with their heads right, because obviously the way they finished the regular season isn't the way they want it.
Breaking down this matchup between these two teams, if you're Alabama, what is your biggest chance to exploit Michigan State in what phase of the game?
You know, I think handling Greg Jones, the middle linebacker at Michigan State, is going to be a really big challenge for Alabama. The guy's made over 100 tackles this season. He's made, I think, over 400 in his career. He's an All-American. And really, maybe as good a linebacker as there is in the entire Big Ten. So, you know, and that could be a trouble spot for Alabama because obviously the interior offensive line and the running game between the tackles just was not what it needed to be over the second half of the season for Alabama. So I look at that as a pretty key matchup. And you know, Alabama was kind of beat up at the end of the year. They didn't have DJ Fluker for 4 or 5 games. They didn't have Barrett Jones the last 2 games, and of course the running backs have kind of been dinged up all season, and those guys have had over a month now to sort of heal up. So I think that'll be an interesting aspect to it.
And conversely, Alabama's biggest weakness, looking at Michigan State and their strengths, what do you think that is?
Well, Michigan State's offense is pretty balanced. They've got a guy, a quarterback, who threw for about 2,700 yards, but they've got a 1,200-yard rusher, Edwin Baker. He's just short of 1,200 yards, I think, so far. So, you know, they can do it all. They like to run. I think they're committed to the running game, but obviously Cousins can do a lot of damage in the air. He's going to be minus one of his weapons, and B.J. Cunningham, who is one of 2 standout receivers for Michigan State, he broke his foot, and so he's out for the game. But I do think Michigan State can still put up a lot of points in this game.
Looking at 2011 and starting that, a lot of coaches talk about the bowl game being the start of the next season. How large does a win affect Alabama, and how deflating is a loss?
Well, I think a win impacts the team a little more than a loss for the most part. In general terms, you know, for any team in a bowl game, unless maybe you're talking about a national championship game, but. You know, it's, you know, for Alabama, I think this game is about how they feel about themselves, and I think for Michigan State, it's more about how they're perceived by others. You know, and Michigan State's got a motivation because the Big Ten hadn't fared well in bowl games against the SEC. Michigan State themselves hadn't fared well in bowl games lately. I think they're on a stretch here where they've lost several of those in a row. So, you know, for Michigan State, I think it's about how they look, and for Alabama, it's more about how they feel.
Are there any injury notes that we don't know about yet?
No, Mark Barron, of course, which we've known for weeks, is going to miss this game with a torn pectoral muscle that he's already had surgery on and he's recovering from. Will Lowry is going to step in for him. Other than that, and of course, I mentioned before, the Cunningham kid for Michigan State will miss the game at wide receiver. Other than that, it looks like everybody's pretty much full go. A couple guys won't play for Alabama, but probably wouldn't have played anyway. B.J. Scott being one. Of course, he had some surgery near the end of the year, and so he won't play. But he was a reserve and hardly played to begin with. And, yeah, they got a couple other reserves that are not going to play that haven't really seen the field this year either.
Nick Saban said that Greg McElroy would be the quarterback because he was owed the opportunity. But if it gets to be a one-sided contest to the end of the game, do you see A.J. McCarron getting a chance to come in and get some reps?
I do, and I think Nick Saban will probably treat it like any other game. You know, he did the same thing during the regular season when Alabama was able to run away with a game. They went ahead and put McCarron in there. So I don't think he'll necessarily treat this game any different than a regular season game. McElroy is obviously a fifth-year senior, and you know, Saban said he deserves to start, he deserves to play, and he deserves, you know, not to be pulled, just, you know, just to get somebody else a few more passes. So, you know, and I don't expect it to be a blowout either. I think it'll be a close game. I'll be surprised if A.J. McCarron gets in there, but, you know, if he does, then can't do anything but help him.
Fair enough. Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News, thanks so much for being with us.
All right, take it easy.
Interesting stuff right there from Chase talking about the bowl game. What are your thoughts on Alabama's chance this Saturday?
I think it'll be a good game. I don't see Bama. I think the line last I saw was 10.5 for Bama. I don't think they'll cover that much. They have potential to, if everything clicks, just blow out Michigan State, because I do not think they have the horses to hang with Bama. But I think it will end up being a closer game than the 10.5. I say Bama 24-21.
Yeah, I think Alabama will win. I think along about the same line that you. I think 20-17, 24-21 game. Not a high-scoring game, but there'll be some points put on the board. If you don't know already, the schedule this weekend, very odd to have three games on at one time with so much at stake. Alabama, Michigan State.
Four games. You got to remember, the Ticket City Bowl will start early.
Again, very odd to have three games.
The SEC Big Ten Showdown.
Three games on at one time. That's the Ticket City Bowl is between Northwestern and Texas Tech.
Yeah. Mm. Big game.
The Outback Bowl, Florida, Penn State, is at noon. And, of course, the Capital One Bowl is at noon. And the Gator Bowl.
Is that 12:30?
Right, yes. So, so you do have 30 minutes. If you know, your game gets done, you can watch 30 minutes of Michigan and Mississippi State. But that's like Election Day in a way. You have the three SEC versus Big Ten games, and you know, about the same time they're all going to have their returns. And the only other game left on the docket is Arkansas and Ohio State. So you're taking Alabama. I am too. And I think Michigan beats Mississippi State. I don't know why.
I like Mississippi State over Michigan.
Okay.
And I like Penn State over Florida. Florida's missing a bunch of players right
really?
Now. Yeah, I don't think Florida is there. I know there's a whole rah-rah win last one for Urban.
Right.
I just think that team could care less.
Well, I hear that, but I think Florida probably has more talent than Penn State, and if they could just put it all together for a game, and maybe they'll have some motivation with a new coach, and maybe they won't, but I think that I like Florida in the game just because I think they have more talent. How about the Sun Bowl, Miami-Notre Dame? Who do you have in that one?
I like the Hurricanes. Give me the U.
I agree.
I don't think Notre Dame has the athletes to hang with Michigan or Miami. I just think Ja'Cory Harris is probably going to get the start, according to Miami. And I just think they'll put up enough. I think Ja'Cory Harris that started at the beginning of the season will show up and it'll be a winning display for the U.
Yeah, it should be. The Chick-fil-A Bowl, very good contest between Florida State and South Carolina.
That game should be really fun. It just depends which South Carolina shows up. Last time we saw South Carolina in that building, it was a very ugly, ugly scene. I'm going to lean towards FSU there.
Yeah. I'm gonna say South Carolina does it, but I do that very cautiously because of the reason you just mentioned. Well, that's the weekend lineup, and we'll be back next week to talk over what happened this coming up weekend and also preview the BCS championship game between the Tigers of Auburn and Sears' team, the Ducks of Oregon.
Quack, quack.
We're never going to hear the end of it, but he's coming around. I think by the time the game is played, he will be decked out with his all-in orange and blue shirt, I think. We'll be back next week.